Welcome to the podcast for moms who are juggling business and babies. Whether your business is brand new or you're scaling to six figures and beyond, or your babies are now toddlers or teenagers, we can relate to that mompreneur life. If you dream of building a business that allows you to work less with more income year over year, then stick around, my friend. I'm Lonnie Jackson, your host and business mindset coach, and spiller of all the secrets you need to double your income without doubling your to-do list, no matter what season of mom or business life you are in. Join us every week and let's be brilliant together. Hey mamas, welcome back to another episode. I am really thrilled to introduce you to today's guest. Her name is Nicole Culver, and I've been following her for quite a few years, but we just recently actually met in person and met because I hired her as a business coach. And her husband run an amazing program where they teach entrepreneurs how to grow their business on Evergreen. And they have such fantastic processes and systems. And really, truly, when I was looking to hire a coach, they fit the bill because they were doing things that were out of the box and then also supporting women and entrepreneurs in a way that I thought was just amazing and fantastic. And I'm so excited for Nicole to be on here because she gets to share her journey, which I think is pretty fascinating. And I think you're going to find a lot of value from it. So Nicole, welcome to the podcast. And so glad you're here.
Ah, thank you so much, Lonnie. That was such a good intro. So thank you.
Well, I want you to introduce yourself in your own words and tell us what you do. Tell us how many kids you got and where you're from. Just kind of give us a little overview.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk about the really long journey, and I'll tell you what I do now, but you will hear how it has changed over almost 13 years of being in the online space. So now we focus on helping entrepreneurs, helping CEOs make sales every single week. Our mission of our company, Elevated, is to help CEOs and founders have wildly profitable and wildly fun. We were just talking about this on our team meeting. Wildly fun businesses, because it's really important to help people. It's really important to make money, but we want you to have fun and actually keep the money that you're making at the end of the month. And our clients are really big-hearted impact makers. They have really big visions. They have really big goals. And it's our honor truly to help people make it come to life in a way that is aligned and sustainable.
And you do that. And I'm a testimony because I'm in your program. You are definitely doing that. And you have three girls, correct?
Three girls. Yes, I have three girls.
What are their ages now?
Ages. My oldest is 11. She's in middle school. She's in sixth grade, which is a whole new ball game to us. I have an 8-year-old and I have a 5-year-old in kindergarten. So this is our first year, three kids in full-time school. Woo-hoo. Like first year of running our business where it's like, oh my gosh, I actually feel like I have a lot of time to work.
When all of the kids were in school for the first time, I literally that first week kept walking around like, what am I doing? I was so confused.
Yeah. And this is why, I don't know if you feel like this, but I started my business. I only had like 6 months before getting pregnant. And then I've run most of my business with having kids. So now I'm like, I have so much time to work. And when people are like, I have 20 hours, 30 hours, I'm like, what do you do all week? Like, because I used to get stuff done in like an hour a day in nap times. And now it's like, oh my gosh, I have so much time.
Yeah, it's crazy how when you have limited time and then it expands. Yeah, we are very efficient. And that's why I think moms make the best entrepreneurs, because we maximize our time really, really well. So I want to have you share how you got started in business online space, because you were originally a teacher. That was your first career, correct?
First career was a teacher. I've had a job since I was in like middle school and was babysitting. So I've always worked. But yes, my first out of college job was a teacher.
Yeah. And what made you jump into the online space from teaching?
Misery. Misery. I started like embarrassingly, but not as a blogger back in, I blogged about my wedding. So I got married in 2008. So that tells you like I have longevity in this space, but I started as a blogger. I was making money through like some ad revenue, but when I tell you it was teeny tiny, and some sponsorships, which were like, you know, sometimes a few hundred dollars, which was a decent chunk of change when you're a teacher. And finally, I had, I don't know how deep you want to go, but I don't, I had this change in my life where I lost someone who was very close to me. And that was in 2008. So that was right after, 3 months after I got married. And it was like the turning point where I was like, I can't be living for other people. I have to live for me. And I'm not happy teaching anymore. So I need to figure out something else. So in 2011, I finally quit. So it took me about 3 years to, you know, figure it out. And I went into the online space first with like health coaching and then also running a food business, which was a mix of in-person and online.
Well, that's how I got to know your name. But it's because I was a blogger, too. That's how I started out.
I remember in March talking about this.
Yes. Yes. My blog was All My Good Things. What was your blog's name back in the day? Do you remember?
Yes. Of course I remember. It was Making Good Choices. So we had that common word there.
I love it. I love it. So we started out with something very like casual and you're making a couple hundred dollars. And then from that pivot, what were some like big lessons that you learned, and how long did you do that business in the food business and blogging space?
Yeah. So I started in blogging, and that was actually really helpful because it helps you just learn how to do things like build an email list. And then honestly, learning to build an email list.
Oh, so big.
Huge. I mean, our email list makes us, that's how we make all our money, from our email list every single day. And that was a skill I learned in 2008, 2009, 2010 on MailChimp when it was.
MailChimp is the worst.
Right? Like, but it was, what else was there?
Oh, there was nothing else. There was nothing else.
MailChimp or like Infusionsoft. Crazy, right? Yes. So I learned all of that back like way over a decade ago. And I mean, there were so many turning points, but we didn't shut down our food business until 2018 when I was pregnant with Isabel, my third child. And I was like, I can't keep having two businesses anymore. The food business, having a food business is, in my one person opinion, brutal. It is just brutal. Your profit margin, we can go in any direction you want, but you're making very little money. I was just laughing at a Facebook memory of a 50% off Black Friday sale that I did. And just to give you an idea, a bag of granola was like $7 or $8. I'm doing 50% off. Ooh. So that means I was making like $3 or $4. And the cost of food, the cost of goods is not cheap. I wasn't even paying myself at that point.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very funny to look back on.
Well, I think, can I just hop on that statement you just made? I wasn't even paying myself at that point. But to everyone else, oh my gosh, Nicole has a food business and you've been doing this for so many years. You must be so successful to have because your product was in stores.
Oh my gosh. We sold across the entire country. We were in Whole Foods, we were in TJ Maxx, we were in Home Goods. Like, it was, we did like food expos. We were like, it looks very glamorous.
Yeah.
It really does.
But you weren't even paying yourself.
No, it was awful. And the funny, not funny, and I'm a true believer of it had to happen this way. Mm-hmm. It had to be this way. But we were doing coaching and consulting and like marketing work for other businesses and for local businesses too, to subsidize the food business, because we did one Kickstarter for $10,000. And that was the only money we ever raised in the food business. And there's so many costs in the food business. It taught me so many lessons. Now, like, we just did a client box and I can talk all day about cardboard boxes. I know what dyes. I know all of the lingo because I did all of that. But the margins are brutal. Brutal.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important for, you know, the women listening to this are mostly, they're all moms and in lots of different stages. And we get this idea that just because it's everywhere and it looks fancy and it's present doesn't mean that it's making you tons and tons of money. And I think we look at people. Did you have this issue? I don't know if you've ever struggled with this, but I know for me, before I really started to get in the behind the scenes of a lot of businesses, I would just be like, oh, they have to be making a ton of money. Something's wrong with me because I'm not.
100%. I mean, and the funny part is you, I don't get as wrapped up in now because I've seen the behind the scenes of so many people's businesses. And I've also had people who come to me who have multi seven figures, who come to us for coaching and consulting because they have no money at the end of the month. And we're like, what's the point? So we've all, through all of that, when we started really going into consulting work and we shut down the food business, that was something. And that's why we say wildly profitable, because we made that mistake from 2011 to 2018. And now money management and profitability is so important to us, but it's so not sexy. It's boring. Like, people don't like talking about it, which is why I don't talk about it that much. But it's important. If you're getting to the end of the month and you have no money left over, you got a problem somewhere.
Yes. And you know, this is a journey. This isn't an instant success. And that, right before we hit record, I told you I wanted to talk about this, because I think the thing that we are so quick to judge ourselves and get mad at ourselves because we're not having this fast 30-day success story when we've been in business, or, you know, however long you've been in business. But this is years in the making before you get to where you are today.
Yeah. Years. So many years. And that, it's something that I think both you and I could talk about forever. But it's really like, When I started to understand what it was truly going to take from me, I started making decisions for 3 years from now, for 5 years from now, for 10 years from now, not for next week or next month, because I'm not the type of person, I don't have unlimited energy. I just don't. Like, my kids and Dan, my husband, my home, like, I have so many other things to give energy to that I want to have energy for, that I'm not going to work an 80-hour work week to make like a little bit extra money, because I have to be able to do this in 10 years from now. So I'm going to, I always have been willing to grow slower, even if consciously I didn't want to have the patience. I unconsciously always was committed, because in 10 years from now, and you have seen this, I have seen this, I will be around for a very long time because of how I've run my business and because of how I've grown my business. Whereas I've seen people come in and make fast cash and then they're gone literally the next year.
Yes. Yes. I just was talking to someone about, where did this person go who was everywhere last year? You can't find them. And it's crazy, but I think it's because they didn't have that long-term sustainability. They figured out a quick cash movement that wasn't sustainable. And the profit margins just can't stay there when you're throwing thousands and thousands of dollars behind ad money, but then not able to sustain that kind of work. It's just not what you see on the surface, though. And I think that is one of the biggest faults of this online space, where it is easy to building a business online is amazingly easy. It is, truthfully. There's so many opportunities, but the lie that we fall for is like, oh, it's going to happen like magic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think something that is really important to both of us, and sometimes to maybe a fault, I don't know if you know what I'm going to say, is client results. Mm-hmm. And that also is why we have been able to be around and why we'll continue to be around, because it truly is the core of everything we do and every decision we make. And not everyone gets to see the behind the scenes of those decisions. Sometimes they're really hard decisions to make, but it all comes down to, does this help? Does this help our clients? And does this help the mission of the business? And that's why I believe we've been able to do this for so long, because our clients continue to get results and get better results, and more people start hearing about you. But you do, that's where the patience has to come in, because you have to be willing to wait for for the momentum to build, because that's organic momentum. You can't fake. Maybe you can at the beginning fake client results, but you can't fake sustainable long-term client results.
Absolutely. 100% agree. So this intention for your clients and the pivot that you guys made into more consulting, what brought about the evergreen model? And I want you to define what evergreen means to you, because it's not the same as passive.
Yeah.
I realized somebody the other day was relating, thinking evergreen and passive were the same thing. And I don't think I was like, oh, that's not the same. So I would love for you to tell us, because this is what you really consult on and you help your clients with, is to develop evergreen processes where you're making sales and you have sustainable momentum. And I love that word.
Yeah.
So what does that look like to you? What do you define it as? And then we can talk about what it looks like.
So how we define it is really the ability to enroll people in your programs all of the time. Your ability to actually be able to sell something every single week and be able to sell and deliver that thing in a way that gets you sales, but also gets your client results. And I don't actually talk about the client results probably as much as I should, but both are important to me, because if you get sales, but you're not getting results, then you're probably not going to fit in our program either, because we want your clients to get results. I love making money in my sleep. I don't think anyone would say no to that, but there's a lot of myths around like passive automation. Because people think, let me set this up one time and then I never have to look at it again. And that's not the even passive automated funnels need to be tended to. It's like a garden. You need to check in with them. So if you have a process that's bringing you automated sales, that's great. But at some point, it's going to stop working if you haven't looked at it, just because that's the nature. That's the nature of it. So that's how we define it, is the ability to be able to sell and deliver a program all of the time.
I love it. So it's not open cart, closed cart, lunch every other month or once a quarter. It's always open, always available, always in the process of being sold.
Yeah. And of course, do we encourage people, if they want to do a push or a launch?
Sure.
Absolutely. We have people do that all the time. But it becomes like the cherry on top, the bonus, as opposed to the launch survival, which is what I used to be in, where it's like, I have to make this amount of money in this amount of time. And the pressure that brought me into, and the, like, I say, like, I had launch trauma, which I'm not actually, like, it's funny, but not funny. I would become this whole other person during launch.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like. So we created this sell all the time, deliver all the time system, because it was just easier on my nervous system, to be honest.
Yeah. So I know maybe somebody hearing that might say, well, then that sounds like exhausting to be selling all the time, delivering all the time. Is how do you keep that from becoming exhausting?
Yeah, we do get that. We do get that question all of the time, but it's kind of like when you find a lifestyle, like an exercise routine that you're like, I could do this for the rest of my life. When you finally find a way to like eat pizza and like be healthy, and you're like, I could do this the rest of my life. That's the energy behind it. When you are marathon training, there's an end to that. You cannot train for a marathon for the rest of your life. Your body will burn out at some point, but could you take up running a mile a day for the rest of your life with some time off? Absolutely. Could you walk every day for the rest of your life? Absolutely. It's not the same energy management system as in a launch.
No, it's not. It's not. And it's really, again, like you just said, it's incorporating it into your lifestyle. And I think that is why it's easy to sustain and it feels easier because it doesn't feel like work anymore. Mm-hmm. Like it's like this, all this extra load. I know for me, when I was in launch mode before, it was like, oh, I have to do this and this, this, and squeezing it all in on top of what I was already doing. It was exhausting.
And then you never, the other thing that I couldn't get behind was the level of risk that that it brought in. Because if I needed to make whatever amount of money it was, $100,000 in a 3-month period, and I had to do that in a week, that's so stressful. Versus, and if we're even talking about lesser, it doesn't matter what amount. If you're waiting until a 5-day period, that's the only time you feel you can sell in a quarter, that's really stressful. So I would much rather spread that out and have to make little tweaks and adjustments versus getting to the end of a launch and being in, oh shit.
You're mine. I mean, that's really how it is. It's like, oh, wow, I didn't make any sales. Crap, I got to do this and this and this. And that's not fun. That's not enjoyable. And so I want to know, because number one, if you want to know more about the Evergreen model, Dan and Nicole do trainings every week just about on their Evergreen. So you'll be able to put some links in here for you to go to sign up for one of them, follow them on social media. You also have a podcast that is amazing. Go watch those. I don't want to take up time there, but I would love to know, how did you shift from the food business into this Evergreen teaching consulting model? And now you've scaled it to be such an amazing, profitable business. But I know it didn't start that way. So can you tell us a little bit about the shift between businesses?
Yeah. So I would love to be like, oh, well, we stopped the food business and then we just got here. Like, that's not... And that's not how it
magic.
It's magic. I probably could like timeline it out. So I'll try to do my best with it. When we were building the food business, something I was really passionate about was also building a community with the food business. And I built up my email list, and that is how we sold online. So we actually had a fairly sizable local business as well from doing farmers markets and selling in local stores here, but I would bring all of those people into my email list. And then I would start doing community things with my email list. So what started happening was other businesses, other local businesses, other online businesses, other influencers who were then buying our products started asking us questions about how we were growing our business online. So we started helping them, and it was like, you know, pay per hour type of consulting, hire us for a month. And then Dan, who's my husband, started running our Facebook ads back in like 2012, like literally over a decade ago, running Facebook like ads. And he started teaching himself Facebook ads. And then we were about to hire someone, and this really amazing, generous person we paid her for the hour, and we were going to hire her. And she did a consult session with Dan, and she said, you know, you actually know enough to do this yourself. You're doing a good job.
Wow.
And that was such a gift for us, because she just served the heck out of that hour. And that honestly was like one of those life-changing moments because we're like, okay, well, maybe we could do this for other people. So he started running our Facebook ads more and more and more, but then people started asking him for help with Facebook ads. So he started doing more. And then there were all these little like micro shifts along the way. I went to my first in-person conference, which was the 90-day year in 2016. And then I went again in 2017. And I realized that I wanted to do something to help more people online, but I didn't want to be the center of attention. I didn't want it to be about me. So I put together summits, and I started doing summits. And that's where, like, we still have clients who purchased the Food Entrepreneur Summit who still are in our program, literally. Like, one of our clients, Ali Dorian, Jennifer Schrenkost, like, they're still clients. And talk about growth that they've had, but started doing summits because I was able to get behind them because it was about other people coming in and speaking. And in 2016, I made $11,000 in like a 3 or 4 day period. And the profit on that was $8,000. We spent $3,000 on ads, profited $8,000. And that was like, it took, do you know how long it took to sell $10,000 worth of granola to then take home nothing? That was like the light bulb where I was like, huh, I could make $8,000 in profit in like 3 or 4 days if I sell something online. It cost me nothing. Like, I think I had some images made because Canva wasn't a thing then from like one of those like online, I can't think of the names right now, but like one of like the VA things online. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, what are the names? I can't.
Fiverr.
Yes, Fiverr. Thank you. And I just started, okay, so let's do another summit and do another summit. And those were like our cash infusions. And then that turned into, okay, well, let's have something on the back end of the summits to sell. Let me create a membership. Okay, let's create a group coaching program and get 30 people into my first group coaching program at $3,000. That was a big cat. So it just started, it started snowballing, but it was like a slow snowball because I'm talking 2016 to now. So that's, you know, 7 years. Mm-hmm. So it was a slow snowball, but it just started. It was like, okay, let me make one decision for right now. I'm not going to try to figure out what I'm doing in 7 years from now. What do people want right now? What are people talking about? What are they willing to pay for? Okay, they'll put $47 to pay for a summit. Okay, they'll spend $39 a month with me to do a membership. Okay, then they'll do $3,000 to do group coaching. Okay, then I'll create a mastermind. And would I advise someone to maybe make those exact steps? But no, but also they were just micro decisions in the moment. Did I make mistakes? Like, should I have had 30 people in a group coaching for my first time doing it? Probably not. Did we have people who are like, hey, I don't feel like I'm getting attention? Yes. Mm-hmm. But those, like those things that I did in 2018, now in 2023, I'm like, okay, so I gotta make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, it, I think that is just a great picture of how you do one step and you check in with yourself. Was this worth my time? And then how can I build off of this?
Yeah.
Instead of pivoting again and again and again and again and trying all these new offers, you're building on top of it, which gives you so much data to look at. And that's one of the things I do appreciate about what your program, you guys are constantly saying, what is the data? Because we don't, as women, that's not the first thing we look at. We usually look at the drama around it and like, oh, I don't like this. It's not working. But we're not checking in with the data. And I feel like you and Dan have really looked at the data and said, okay, how did this work? And you keep pivoting and building off of the things that are working or not working.
Yeah. And the other thing that I just want to mention is when you're making decisions, like just know, I think a lot of women too get so stuck in their head around, well, like, what if I want to make a change in a year from now? What if I don't want to do this in 3 years from now? Your first thing, like I am the biggest example of this. Your first thing, your second thing, probably your third thing will not be your last thing. So don't not do the first thing that you feel called to do because you're afraid. You will evolve just like it's like your kids. When your kids were babies, they wore clothes that fit them when they're a baby. But imagine being like, you can't have any more clothes or you can't do anything because you've grown. The point is to grow. The point is to evolve. So don't let your fear of having to change, like change can be safe for you, prevent you. Because the funny thing is, and I was just having this conversation with Katie Soy, who's one of our advisors right now. She was like, the things you teach have been the same since 2018, but your marketing has changed. Yes, because I just became I was good at getting client results, but I became a better marketer over the years.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's really, truly the thing that we need to be able to track is say, you are good at what you do. Now we just get to decide how to market it better and how to find better ways to sell it, better ways to get results and do it on a larger scale. And that's really what you've done is to keep going deeper and saying, how can we do this better? How can we do this bigger? And one step at a time.
Yeah. And you actually asked a question that I didn't answer is you asked, how did you come to Evergreen? Mm-hmm. And I love this story. I don't know if people will love this story, but just as like another part in our journey, in 2019, and I closed down my membership. I had a membership. It was about 100 people at the time. I was really burned out and I just really needed a break because I was showing up like multiple times a week and it was just a lot. And yeah. I say, like, looking back now, I would never shut anything down how I did it. I did it awfully. It was like an emotional decision, which is why I'm like on my pedestal about not making emotional decisions as a CEO. And Dan, like, this is the benefit of working with your husband, because he literally was like, I got it. I will go and I will do Facebook ads for people. And he picked up the slack for a year and a half and just like crushed Facebook ads. And I actually would consult with his clients more behind the scenes. And because when people want help with Facebook ads, they don't just want help with Facebook ads. Yeah. They need help with their entire funnel. And that's what we started doing, helping people with the entire funnel. So in 2021, I was like, I'm ready. I'm ready to like come back and be more of a presence and to grow. Like I never, if probably behind the scenes, you never would have saw me, like, it's not like I ghosted. It's not like I didn't show up, but I was going through a lot of internal behind the scenes personal stuff that I just couldn't show up in the way that I show up. So in 2021, I was like, all right, I'm ready to do more. Let's like do something more scalable now. Cause he had, at the height of it, he had like 30 Facebook ads clients. So I was like, let's go. So we started to put together this new offer that really was based on everything we had been doing since 2011, building your email list, selling to people, helping people with Facebook ads. And in September 2021, he was starting to do sales calls. And we were like, we're going to help people with their offer. We're going to make people's offer like so sellable. So we started getting on sales call after sales call. And after 14, now Dan is very good at selling. He had like over 100% close ratio on Facebook ads calls. And he would turn people away because he was just like, hey, you're not really ready for Facebook ads. You're not ready at this level. It's not profitable for you to hire me. 14 sales calls. I think he had like 2 or 3 sales. Wow. And we were like, finally, after that, we're like, something's not working here. Like, what is happening? So then we started getting on more sales calls and we started listening to what people were saying. And they were like, this is really great. I'm going to do this later. I want to go evergreen, right? And we started hearing that word over and over and over again. And we're like, okay, well, we should just sell evergreen. And now I want to caveat this, is we were helping people sell. We were helping people make sales. So we're like, can we just put our own spin on evergreen and help people sell all the time? Because that's what we were doing. That's what we had been doing with Facebook ads. That's what we had been doing with our membership. That's what we had been doing with our local business. That's what we had been doing for over a decade. We just never put the word to the system.
Yep.
And then we started selling evergreen and it started selling and it started being, we really asked the question of like, how can this be as easy as selling Facebook ads? And that is where evergreen was born from. It was their words, not ours. And ethically, we could do that because we did have the system to help people sell all the time. Now, when you come in, of course, we help you make your offer better. Of course, but no one wants to hear that. No one wants to pay money to fix their offer because people don't know they have an offer problem. They want evergreen.
Yeah, I think that's just a beautiful story. And I know it's going to be a good thing for some of these girls listening, because we oftentimes are getting told by our clients exactly what they want. And you had the 10 years of skills ready to give them what they needed and what they were asking for. But you just were putting the wrong label. You were pushing the wrong point of it. And I've been there. I have been in separates my hand. And that's where, if we can really listen and use the skills that you have that you might not know are transferable to something amazing, amazing. You have it in your pocket. That's really
it. And that's why I love a lot of people look down on sales calls because they're not scalable. And like, oh my gosh, I have to get on the phone with someone. But they are the biggest gift. Your people literally will tell you, like they're literally opening up to you, telling them exactly the words they need to hear for you to help them. And that is the biggest gift. And I don't know why, especially if you're in a period of struggle, which, by the way, we all have periods of struggle. We still have periods of struggle 100% in our business. It shifts a little bit. It changes a little bit, but we still have struggle. And the thing that we always come back to is, what are they saying right now? What are people saying? And if you're not willing to do that, and listen, as a mom of three who worked through having three babies, I get how hard it is, but you need to have a way for people to speak to you. Like, that's the most important thing. You need to have a way to hear the words people are saying, because your life will be easier. Your sales will be easier.
Yes. That was a great piece of advice a friend gave me, that she recorded her calls, her discovery calls, so that she could go back and highlight things that were being said over and over again. And she turned it into her marketing. And I was like, and now we have things like Fathom and AI that can literally be on the call with you, transcribing, making notes for you. Use them. There's so many tools like that. So I really am so grateful for you sharing your story with us. And I hope that you as a listener are taking away a couple things. One, it's okay to have a 13-year journey.
Yes. What's the other option?
Right?
What is the other option? I don't know. I was never going back to teaching.
Yeah.
So this is it.
Yeah. And would you have changed it? Would you go back? Like you just said, you believe it had to happen this way.
It had to happen this way, because you know what happens? Undoubtedly, my clients, someone needs to hear a story about something I went through. And I literally, because we've had such a long journey, because we've had so many different things we've done, because I ran a food business, because it was local, our ability to help people and share a story of struggle, I literally have an unlimited amount of struggle stories that I can share with people and share the other side. And that expertise, that's why I have a client who's like almost doing $10 million a year, which is more than I am doing. But because of my level of expertise, because I worked with local businesses, because I help local businesses come online, they're still working with us year after year because I have something that I can provide. And some of my clients are making more money than me because of the level of expertise that I have.
Yeah. And that's the amazing thing about being okay with the pace and the journey and not giving up, not pivoting and throwing the baby in the bathwater out every other month because it just isn't working as fast as you thought. So the journey is the beautiful part. And I hope that encourages the you that are listening to say, I am super excited to be on this journey. And what I'm learning today is going to give me so much value tomorrow and my clients' value and success. So, and if you want to hear more about Nicole, what her and Dan do in Elevated, I'll go and check out the links in the show notes. Your podcast name is Shift, the Shift Show. And you can follow, what's your handle again on Instagram?
That's Nicole Culver.
Nicole Culver. Yep, just her name. And go and follow her there for sure. Thank you again, Nicole, for coming
on. Thank you so much. So fun.
All right. And we'll see you guys next week on another episode. Thanks for joining us today. Now it's time to get out there and take action. Big or small, action is going to make an impact on your business this week. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. If you enjoyed this episode, take a screenshot and share it with your friends on Instagram. Don't forget to tag me at Lonnie J. Jackson, and we'll see you next week for another episode.